When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Michael Hyde, Senior Vice President of Business Banking at Associated Bank. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Pleasure to be here.
I want to focus our conversation first off a story I saw online, and maybe you could shed a little bit more light on this and we can get a little bit more context on it, about how large U.S. banks appear set to enter the new year in a position of strength. What's this all about, and why is it something important that especially your clients should know about?
I think large banks are really set up for success here in 2026. It has a lot to do with, the markets are staying strong, right? There's been a regulatory shift, and I think we will see a healthier loan demand in 2026. So I think banks are kind of poised to take advantage of that and have a strong year going forward.
I want to break a couple of those things down. First of all, the regulatory shift. What is it that's changed in that landscape that's positive for banks?
Yeah, so the regulatory changes for banks, there's been banks under $250 billion in assets. The stress tests have become less frequent. So, banks that were fully exempt. So it's a little bit less regulatory requirements, which gives banks a little bit more freedom on, doing a lot of C&I lending.
I think the other part of the equation here is the interest rate environment, which seems to be going down. We've had a couple of rate cuts in a row here, so that might mean healthier loan demand in the new year.
It will, yes, and I think a lot of that may come from there was a lot of loan activity when rates were at near bottom in 2021, and a lot of the loans should be coming due. Most of the commercial loans are structured with 5-year terms, so we should see a lot of those coming due in 2026. So business owners, as long as the forecast stays intact and we do see interest rates lowering, business owners should be able to take advantage of these interest rates in 2026.
Mm-hmm. And there's some macro parts of this as well. One of them is there is an indication that there's going to be an acceleration in commercial and industrial lending. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so a little bit about what I just spoke about, right, with the refinance activity for C&I clients. We should see some of that in 2026. And then also, too, here, towards the end of 2025, we are seeing an uptick in M&A, mergers and acquisitions. So I think that'll continue into 2026. So we should see a pretty high level of that going forward as well.
I don't know if you've been paying much attention to what the Fed has been saying, but do you suspect that there will be more interest rate cuts in the new year?
Yeah, the forecast does keep changing. I think last I heard we should see an additional 2 rate cuts in 2026. But we will also see a change in the Fed chair. I believe it's February of 2026. So, it's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on, right, to see what the Fed decides going forward. But I believe the forecast right now is for 2 additional cuts going through 2026.
There are a lot of, back to the industrial corporate clients, I mean, there are a lot of clients, I'm guessing, that have loans that they would love to get refinanced in the coming year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like I said, there's a lot of debt that's coming due, right, that's going to mature in 2026. So, even if it's not something that they're really actively looking to refinance, it's something that they're going to have to refinance. So if the interest rates continue to decline, I think that'll be beneficial for a lot of business owners.
Yeah. Michael, I want to shift to a little bit more of the consumer side of things. The holiday season, the end of the year is a time when a lot of us like to spend money on things, whether it be gifts or holiday travel or New Year's travel or what have you. Let's talk about some of the year-end banking moves that people might be able to make to save some money next year. What would you say is the biggest one going into the end of the year here?
Yeah, I kind of like you said, people like to spend money this time of the year, right? I think it's very key to focus on a budget and really stick to that budget, right? You don't want to come into 2026 with, high interest rate credit card debt or anything like that, because that could really hinder your, plan for 2026 as far as increasing savings. And really, you want to focus on setting yourself up for success in 2026. Personally,
yeah, I know a lot of folks have been using this buy now, pay later program. Talk to us a little bit about the positives and negatives with programs like that.
Yeah, you know, as long as you are disciplined to pay that, you know, debt off by the, you know, before you're paying interest on it, I think it could be a good thing. But I also think you can kind of layer in those loyalty rewards from, you know, stores, mm-hmm. along with personal credit card rewards, right, to take advantage of both, which can also set you up with, you know, points that you can utilize in 2026 to spend elsewhere to help, you know, set you up for a successful 2026 personally.
Mm-hmm. What about debt? We talk about credit card debt, or the debt that we're racking up. What if some of that is high interest debt? Is there a chance to get rid of some of that, or at least shift it around to something lower interest rate?
Absolutely. I mean, you can always, you know, if you are going to come into 2026 with some credit card debt that you unfortunately just can't, you know, pay off, you can always look to take advantage of, 0% balance transfer opportunities. Or, you know, loan consolidations, if that's available to you. So, yeah, there's definitely opportunity out there to focus on, you know, bringing those interest rates down.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I started doing in the last couple of days is just kind of going through and seeing what subscriptions that I have, what recurring expenses I have. And it was a surprise to me that I actually had a couple of things that I completely forgot about that were just part of these ongoing renewing subscriptions. Is that a good way to go in and try to save money that you had no idea that you were even spending?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and I think this is the time of the year to do it, right? We're all, you know, kind of wrapping up the new year, maybe have some time away from work. So, you know, what better time to take a look at what subscriptions that you have that you're not utilizing, right? If it's something you're not using, cancel that, right? So you can save some money going mm-hmm. into the new year.
Yeah, there was one of those things that there was one of those premium subscriptions to one of the streaming services, and I put it on hold for a while and went back and actually got a free 2 months when I renewed it at a lower rate. So ended up saving a little bit of money there. I want to talk a little bit about the emergency funds as well. A lot of us don't have an emergency. A lot of people don't have emergency funds. Why is it important to have this saving set aside just in case something bad happens?
Yeah, I mean, you want to focus on, you know, having that emergency fund available, right? If any emergency were to come up, you know, anything at all, really, you just want to make sure you have some sort of savings there to cover any, you know, large costs that you may incur. And I think, you know, also with, you know, reviewing the subscriptions like we talked about, I think now is probably a good time, too, to take a look at any, you know, auto savings features that you have set up, automatic transfers, right, to savings accounts mm-hmm. to see if there's potential to increase those, right? Or, you know, with that savings from your, you know, cleaning up the subscriptions, maybe those dollars you focus on putting into that savings account.
Is there a target size for an emergency fund, and how best do we try to find that figure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some targets out there that say, you know, you want to focus on maybe having 6 months of personal expense, right? But I would say at least to focus somewhere between that 3 and 6 months. Mm-hmm. of total personal expenses that you have is kind of what you want to have available in a savings account.
We have, in recent conversations with some of your colleagues here in our Thought Leader Conversations, been talking about the Chicago economy, and for the most part, it seems to be doing pretty well. There have been really no signs of big layoffs around the area. There is some signs that companies are still looking for employees and having a hard time finding them, but still have job openings posted. And it just sort of brings to mind a question about, you know, Chicago business activity. What are you seeing locally as we end the year here, and what's the prognosis for the new year locally?
Yeah, I mean, you know, business owners that we're working with personally, 2025 has been a pretty strong year for most of them, right? We're not seeing any decline in revenues or anything like that. So, you know, kind of like we talked about on the top of this call, right? We're really looking at 2026 to be a pretty good year for most business owners here in Chicago.
One of the things that's happened, at least locally, is the discussion of a head tax in Chicago, and doesn't seem like it's gotten a lot of traction. This is a tax per employee with a threshold of number of employees. I think it may be 50 or maybe even 250 employees. Talk to us a little bit about why that is so controversial, that head tax, why it might even be a business killer.
Yeah, the head tax that we've been discussing, I see that as, you know, not helping Chicago business, right? Because, you know, the tax rate is high for business owners, right? And to just add additional tax with the unemployment rate in Chicago, I don't see that being advantageous to business owners here locally.
Mm-hmm. There was one report that showed a barometer business activity was declining starting back in November. Is that something that you're seeing at all? Or, I mean, you just mentioned that your clients seem to be pretty good with what's happening. What was that report about, the monthly business activity?
Yeah, I did read that article as well. It did say, Chicago business is down and has been down for two straight years. I think maybe that is more industry specific, right, as we deal with, a lot of, manufacturers and things like that. I think maybe that article was more focused on the retail sector. I'm not seeing a lot of that here, but I did read that same data, and it seems like it is down for 2 years. So hopefully we can see some positive growth there.
Yeah. If you had to predict a couple of things that were going to happen in 2026 locally, what would they be, do you think?
Like I said, I think, banks are going to do well. We're going to see some active refinancing requests, credit requests, and really just keeping a focus on, like you talked about, some of the macro data, right, going to 2026, and kind of that Fed forecast is really going to be a key and something to focus on going forward in 2026.
All right, Michael, a great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Email is michael.hides@associatedbank.com or my cell phone at 847-858-7769.
Michael Hides is Senior Vice President Business Banking at Associated Bank. You can hear more of our thought leader conversations at associatedbank.com/thought leadership.